Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. It is U.S. Election Day, so you know what? A lot of people are, I think, very distracted, rightfully so, watching and trying to predict what's going to happen here. I've been on record just saying, I hope it's settled by today or tomorrow, and we don't have a long, drawn-out process, but who knows what's going to happen, honestly. I am chatting with Joel Elkonen. He's the co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Joel, let's talk about the markets right now, because on a day when I thought stuff would be quiet and relatively flat, we are seeing pretty much everything across the board outside of the dollar be higher. The S&P is up almost 2%, same with the Dow and the NASDAQ. Gold is also getting a buy. We have financials. Really, every sector that I see is higher, again, except for the dollar. What do you think this is telling the markets? Are we reading too much into it, seeing the markets up this high? Why is this happening? What insights can you give us here, Joel?
Okay, Corey. Thanks for having me on this historic Tuesday afternoon here. Couple different things here. Maybe it's just a relief rally that, the election is coming to an end. The campaigns will be coming to an end, and there'll be a result. I don't know if we're going to get a result tonight or tomorrow. I know in Pennsylvania, which is one of the swing states, they do not plan on counting the votes until after the polls close. So I just think it's relief that perhaps we're going to have a split Senate and split, you know, that between the White House, and no, nothing major is going to be done on, you know, too much to the extreme or too much extreme to the right, to the left. Also, I think Barron's kind of had it. They had a picture of Jerome Powell, and, I don't think Jerome Powell's going anywhere. And so far, he's navigated our country through this crisis so far. And maybe the confidence is that, you know, Powell will stay in place, we'll be able to recover from the pandemic and, you know, have the economy pick up again. So I guess I just call it the relief rally.
So, Joel, do you think that a divided government, one where it's not dominated by either the blue or the red, do you think that's better for markets, or does that just further hold up the ability of the government to pass such things as spending bills, and which then handcuffs the markets?
Well, it's not always a bad thing when you don't have too much extremes, right? So I think, politics and the markets, it's really a very difficult thing to predict. I mean, if you would have asked me, you know, with the market, where it is, the gains that we've had over the last 4 years, it's like, you know, a slam dunk that Trump's going to be reelected. And the performance today, you know, has to put the idea in people's minds that it's not going to be as big a victory or a victory at all for Biden. It's just checks and balances. You know, if you have all, you know, Republicans in the White House, in the Senate, and in the House, you know, things could get too extreme to the right. And then you don't want things too much extremes to the left either. So maybe the company's looking for balance and a resolution to this election, and the country, you know, come together and move forward as one instead of as a divided country.
Oh, man, that would be so nice. I just worry that is kind of a far-off fantasy, at least right now. But who knows? Maybe things will change. One other thing that I think is noteworthy about these market moves is the VIX. The VIX is down today, but quite frankly, sitting at right now 35 and change on the volatility index, that is showing that investors are still taking protection on the other side, doesn't it?
And they're taking expensive protection. And the people that bought protection last week are already underwater. And it's very difficult, you know, with the VIX and these other instruments, because when you need it is when the premiums are the most, you know, when you want to pay for it. If you had waited today, you know, it's still elevated. So it's very hard to hedge a long or short-term portfolio. If you're really that worried about the markets, if you're that worried about the, volatility and stuff, cash is an asset. And, you know, if you have cash on your side, well, you're not going to get much of it in the bank. but you know, it's there for you. I don't know if I mentioned this, and I did mention this last week, where, you know, the preponderance of the stock market capitalization is in the U.S. markets. It's, I believe it's close to 55%, while we have a much smaller, representation of the total population. If I had to make a 5 to 10 year prediction, which has been totally wrong for the last 5 to 10 years, is maybe I want to have some asset allocation in other places. And besides the United States, we've had some tremendous growth. We've had, it's been the place to be. If any of your listeners take a look at like the FXI lately, or until today, Alibaba is doing a little bit of a face plant on the pulling back of the IPO. But if you go back 10 years at the FXI, you know, it was at $45. Where is it at today? It's $45. I don't know if this is the time where maybe you take some few chips off the table, your Silicon Valley stocks, and maybe look to emerging markets for, you know, continued growth as we enter a, I don't know if it's going to be a transitional period or what, but there's a lot of things to think about besides just being in the U.S. markets.
Yeah, absolutely. But you made that comment there about moving into cash. I've heard from a lot of people, you know, now is a good time to hold cash. But the whole question is, how long do you sit on that cash for? Because markets still are volatile. And quite frankly, you don't make any money just sitting on cash. So how do you make that determinant there as to when it is a good time to get more aggressive in the market?
That's such a broad question. And for a young buck like you, Corey, you know, a young guy, one kid, you almost are forced to be in the market. Someone like me, I wish I was close to, to retirement. I mean, I don't know where, you know, when I'm gonna do it. I love the markets. I love what I'm doing. So I don't know if I'll ever, fully retire, from what I'm doing, but, where are you at on your investment horizon? You know, do you want to buy a new house? Do you have kids that are going to college, which the whole dynamics of education is something we can talk about for another hour or so. But you have to look at, at where you're at in your investing horizon, what your appetite for risk is, and, what you want. Do you need your money to live on, to pay the bills, or is this money that you're going to pass on, to your children? So a lot of very difficult question, but I could easily say for someone like you, you have to be in the market. There's, for the long-term investment horizon. Yeah. If we have any 75-year-old listeners out there, maybe that I wouldn't give that same advice to.
Hey, Joel, we do have a couple of the older listeners as well, but that is a good addendum there saying that you do need to just self-reflect at what stage you're at for markets. Can we touch on the precious metals too right now? Because gold, that is also moving higher on the futures market. It's back above 1900. I know it's been a relatively boring market, but do you have the same rosy outlook for gold that a lot of the gold bugs do post-election?
Boy, I mean, gold is so tough, because when you want it to, act as a hedge, it doesn't necessarily act as a hedge. You saw what happened in March and April when there's probably margin calls and people needed to garner their assets. I would just sit on this trading range, and you had the big move up, you had a trading range, and then you kind of lost the upper part of the trading range, but you're just establishing all this support here at 1860, 1870 level. So I'll just look at it technically, as long as it can hold that level, then I'm still in the bullish camp. The trend is up. On the upside, if you want to get giddy on this thing, you really got to clear 1930. I'm looking at some of the highs here. There's even a high at 1936. I'm talking the December gold here. So if you're good at trading ranges, this is what you got to do. So long consolidation in an uptrend. So if you still believe that gold is in a longer term uptrend, then hold it out here through the consolidation and see if it can, you know, hold the bottom of that trading range. But I'm looking at the daily here, and it's been since we came off that high, it's been stuck and just been chopping around the edges, not breaking out or not breaking down.
Can't you also make the argument, though, that it is trending at least a little bit lower? You look at those consecutive lower highs ever since that high in early August.
Yeah.
It does have a bit of a downtrend.
It does. But if you look at it, you know, from the move that it had, I mean, even in the beginning of the year, where'd you close 2000? This is just rolling the front month contract. But, you know, you ended the year at 1579, 1580. You know, you got up, you know, almost to 2100. So you really, you know, you've given back some of it. Let's see what the 50% reach was, 2100. The low for the year is, you know, you're staying above that 50%. So as long as it stays above the 50%, you have to say the uptrend is still intact. Not sure what's being a catalyst to take us back up higher. But, you know, classical technical analysis would say it's still in an uptrend.
Yep, absolutely. The longer term outlook still is positive, and I do agree with that, but I'm not in the camp of saying that after this election, then it's just going to be a move aggressively higher, because I think there's still a lot of messiness that we're going to have to get through, and quite frankly, digesting these gains, moving even sideways to the end of the year, locks in a very solid year. Hey, Joel, great chatting with you, buddy. There's not much more to say here. I hope that everything goes smoothly today in the U.S. for the election. And when you and I chat next week, hopefully we do have some concrete stuff to talk about in terms of moving forward with your country.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll see what happens.